Santo, como siempre comienzo, tengo que empezar por dando la gloria a Dios. Estamos aquí por su misericordia y por su amor, y hoy es posible porque Dios es bueno. Yo bendigo a la iglesia, estamos aquí. Quiero felicitar a todos que están aquí. Hay un grupo de nosotros que no están, están viajando en Puerto Rico, pero muchos están alegres y contentos que se puede tomar esta bendición de tener ambas iglesias unidas para la alabanza para Dios. Y hoy, esta mañana, tengo un reto. Tres puntos, va a ser rápidamente. Lo que quiero hablar hoy, mientras yo miro la iglesia, el cuerpo de Cristo, el cuerpo de Dios, reconozco que aquí hay muchas familias. Entonces, cada persona que se encuentra aquí hoy entiende o tiene experiencia con las relaciones y con las bajas, ¿verdad? Las altas que vienen con cada relación. Y pues hoy lo que yo voy a hablar es de esas cosas que existen en cada relación, que son las rupturas. Y cuando yo digo rupturas, estoy hablando de cualquier conflicto o cualquier incidente que puede causar una división en cada relación. Y entonces hay normalmente tres cosas o tres puntos que a veces se abra para poder restaurar, resolver a veces esas rupturas que existen en cada relación. Punto uno, número uno, es que la persona que está mal esté dispuesto a forzarse para poder arreglar y reparar lo que hizo. Número dos, la persona que recibió lo mal está dispuesto a aceptar la obra de aquel que hizo algo mal. Y número tres, que la obra que está puesto, el trabajo, el esfuerzo, que pueda llegar el momento de poder restaurar el daño. Pero hay limitaciones. ¿Qué es lo que pasa cuando tenemos gente o seres humanos que son imperfectos? Cuando hay dos personas o existe gente que tiene, son imperfectos, es imposible de poder llegar o resolver algo con la voluntad de un ser humano. Es imposible de yo levantarme y decir que yo tengo la habilidad, el discernimiento, el conocimiento y sabiduría de poder restaurar los conflictos que existen en mi vida y en mis relaciones. Porque lo que pasa cuando existe una ausencia de un fuente imperfecto, siempre se va a complicar la habilidad de poder resolver lo que existe en una relación. Entonces, para poder tener cualquier éxito, el ser humano, la familia, el cristiano, tiene que depender de una fuente que sea perfecto, un fuente, un poder que no hay limitaciones, tiene que depender un poder que es celestial. Y entonces, cuando yo abro de estos puntos de lo mal. Ahora imagínate una persona que no tiene falta, una persona que es perfecto, una persona que no tiene falta en el asunto. Esa persona es Dios. Eso es lo que hace. Porque con el ser humano trata de hacerlo uno mismo, da en la misericordia de otro. Tiene que depender la paciencia de otro. Tiene que depender en el perdón de otro. En este momento, la relación con Dios nunca cambia. Porque Dios nunca cambia. Dios es perfecto. Y cuando dependemos de una fuente perfecta, es imposible. Porque cuando dos personas tratan de hacerlo con su propia voluntad, es imposible para tener ese éxito. ¿Por qué digo esto? Porque esto es lo que Dios está haciendo con nosotros. Tenemos falta. Tenemos cosas que tenemos que arreglar. Pero el poder de Dios está ahí. Él nos está buscando a nosotros. Dios está ahí para restaurar, levantar a aquellos que tienen falta. Y te digo en este momento, si tú puedes alcanzar y buscar a Cristo, un toque de Cristo cambia a todos. Porque es imposible de un ser humano en esta tierra, un ser humano que existe aquí, poder entender lo que tú estás pasando. Es imposible. Puede entender que algo es difícil. Puede entender que existe un daño. Puede entender que hay un dolor. Pero de poder entender internamente lo que tú estás pasando, solo un Dios, su creador, puede entender ese punto. Pues te digo hoy, te reto, iglesia, si te encuentras un poco alejado de Cristo, si te sientes un poco de distancia en su palabra, si te encuentras un poco apagado, hoy te reto hoy que busques ese toque de Dios. Porque inmediatamente uno siente el poder de Dios, cuando Él levanta, todo va a cambiar para el mejor. Cristo está dispuesto de buscar de nosotros. Él reconoce el dolor que tú sientes como un ser humano, como padre, los retos que viene de ser un padre, el dolor que está pasando como hijo o hija. Dios sabe exactamente qué tu corazón necesita. La sabiduría del hombre es limitada. Ahora, cuando yo hablo de reparar o reconciliar, sí, estamos reconciliados en la fe por gracia, por la salvación. Pero yo no estoy hablando de ese punto. Estoy hablando hoy de su relación con Cristo íntimo, uno a uno con Cristo. Y pues hoy yo te reto que tú busques ese toque, que tú busques ese punto donde Él va a cambiar. Porque vale la pena tener una conexión, una relación íntima con Cristo. Es la razón que existe la sanidad. Está dispuesto de reparar todo. Él es un Dios de restaurar. Y te digo hoy que ninguno de nosotros estuviera aquí si no era por el poder de Dios. Ese poder de Dios que hace todo posible. Te garantizo, si tú buscas ese toque y si tú buscas a Dios, tú no tienes que ser los primeros dos puntos. Dios va a obrar, Dios va a aceptar, y lo único que tú tienes que hacer es esperar la mano de Dios. Y por eso termino con este versículo que dice, 2 Corintios capítulo 5, 18, que nos recuerda que Dios nos ofrece a nosotros el ministerio de la reconciliación. ¿Qué significa? Que Dios siempre lo está buscando a nosotros. Dios no busca extender la mano nunca ha sido sacada por nosotros. Yo me levanto todos los días y yo sé que Cristo está dispuesto de buscar y empezar y comenzar una relación conmigo. Iglesia, que yo le bendiga. Esto es una bendición de poder estar aquí con ustedes. Una bendición de una iglesia en inglés que ofrece la oportunidad de poder predicar en inglés, en español. God bless you guys. I love you, church. Amén. Pastor Russ.
I understood everything he said. I didn't know I could speak Spanish so well. I got the truth there. That is amazing. Yeah, right, you said. Can't fool you guys. So today I'd like you to turn to 1 Peter chapter 5, please. Don't worry, I'm not leaving. I'm coming back. 1 Peter chapter 5. We're in our series in 1 Peter, and there's only one verse I'm going to speak on today. I have learned that my weakness is I like to talk. So to counteract that weakness, I have limited the message to one verse. To further fight against that weakness, there is no outline. I am just going to briefly preach, speak, and encourage from that one verse, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. Why don't you turn there real fast? I'm going to read it together with you. We're going to evaluate what is it God's trying to say to us in this passage, and then we're going to go outside and just enjoy the church together. Because we're not leaving church when we go outside. The church is leaving the building to go outside, but the church is the church is the church regardless of where we're at. All right, 1 Peter, you thought that was funny, huh, Braxton? Chapter 5, verse 7, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. That word care has the idea of anxieties or heavy burdens. When I was young, I remember the heavy burden that I had. So I was in fourth grade. So for those of you that were in fourth grade or elementary, I was your age. I was around 8 years old or so. And I remember that the heaviest burden in my life, are you ready for this? I wanted to be the fastest kid in school. Not just in my class. Like, I wanted to be faster than the kids older than me. Now, I knew at some point that the high school was, your legs are like twice as big as mine. I knew that was impossible. I wish that someday I would also be the fastest high schooler. But for me, the burden I carried every day to school was I wanted to be the fastest kid in elementary, and I'll tell you why. We had races at my school, and our races were pretty intense. So we would line up, we'd race, we'd have heats, and we'd do different kids in different races. And I was the fastest kid in my grade. The problem with being the fastest kid in a race is now you're always afraid when a new kid shows up. Sometimes in the middle of the year, now you got to race that kid, and you're freaking out. Is that kid going to be faster than me? At the beginning of the new year, you know new kids are at the school. Are they going to be faster than me? My burden to bear was, am I the fastest kid? I remember that bothered me to no end. I had nightmares about losing races. I kid you not. I remember a nightmare. It's not a nightmare now from this age at 40, but at 8 it was. I remember in my dream, I was racing against all the kids in my elementary, my fourth grade and upper, and I could not run. I was doing this, and I was going really slow, and everyone was going so fast. I was like, what in the world? I'm like the last one. I should be the first one, not the last one. And I remember I could not even race, let alone win, and it bothered me. I remember sitting in class. So we would have class, then we'd have recess and class again. And at recess, we would race to the part of the playground we wanted to get to. And one of the things everyone wanted to do was go to the field. And there was two things people wanted to play, football or kickball. But whoever got there first got to choose what game we were playing. My friends and I, we wanted to play kickball. So every day was a race for me because every day, whoever got down there first with the ball gets to choose. I was normally the first kid, but every day I would break out in cold sweats and breathe heavily. I'd look at the clock, 5 minutes, 4 minutes, 3 minutes, 2 minutes, 1 minute. The bell rang. I'd run to the ball. I'd run outside, and I'd run down the field. And inevitably, me and one or two other kids, they have their own stuff, and we're running to the field trying to get down there first. Every day I'm bothered by the fact of, will I be first? Now, when I grew up, my worries didn't go away. They just changed. The things that bothered me and the things that I carry with me are not gone. They're just different. Parents, the kids in your lap, the kids next to you, they carry heavy burdens. And you say, Pastor Russ, they care about stuff like being the fastest. They care about stuff that shouldn't bother them. It does because they're only six. They're only nine. Can you remember what it was like to be in middle school, parents? The anxiety and the things that bothered you. I have here a suitcase. This is not my suitcase. This is my wife's suitcase. It's funny because she will take this suitcase whether we're going on a trip for 2 days or 20 days. I don't know why that is the case, but everything she needs goes in this suitcase. Now, in my wife's defense, she also carries the stuff for my kids. We got five kids. More than one kid, my wife's like, yeah, you better say that. More than one kid's stuff goes in this suitcase. So my wife pretty much takes our bedroom, I guess, in this suitcase. And in this suitcase, you know, what's interesting is the suitcase, as you see, says heavy on it. We don't put that on there. The people, when they get it, like, okay, you know, the people at the airport, and they put that heavy tag on it. This becomes a pretty heavy suitcase. Now, we've climbed up in our award system for our airline. They let us have up to 70 pounds, and my wife tries to use every single pound that we can out of 70 pounds. This is a heavy suitcase, especially when you're carrying the thing around, right? And so there have been times when we had such a short layover that we did not, when we stopped at airport, had to get on our flight, we did not want to trust the airline to transfer our luggage from one to the other, so we would take our stuff with us. That has happened. And boy, what a pain to carry this suitcase from one gate to the other gate, right? You guys ever been there? Maybe you didn't carry the big one, but even the small ones, carrying for like 20 minutes, they can really start to weigh on your shoulder. That burden can hurt. Now, it's interesting, the things that can burden us, right? The things that bother us, the things that are a heavy weight on us. For a lot of us in this room, you know, it's something that should be so light, but it's not. It ends up being heavy. Things that when you drop them, they literally float through the air. But money and finances. No, don't rush, Mike. Mike's like, is that free money? No. It's $2, man. $3, okay? Like, I'll give it to you afterwards, okay? Money. So light, but so heavy on the shoulders of Christians. God reminds Christians that he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. That does not mean those cattle are yours. You are his, and he is rich. Now, God is not going to spoil his children all the time, lest we become spoiled. But you don't have to worry about God not being able to afford you. You know, some of the other things, I talked about kids worry about certain things, maybe adults don't. But it is interesting, even adults sometimes worry about these things, sports. I've known some dads that are more anxious about their kids' basketball game than the kids themselves. You ever been to a T-ball game? It's chaos, pure chaos. And I'm not talking in the field, it's in the stands. It's chaos. Parents are screaming and yelling at the umpire and yelling at the coach, why is my kid not hitting? And the coach is like, because your kid can't hit. Well, get out there, throw him out there. I don't care what you do. You know, T-ball, these little kids are just out there to run, literally run in circles. So I coached T-ball. When I was 17, I was sleeping. My dad woke me up one morning, and I, at 17, I'm sleeping till like 11 o'clock in the morning. And my dad woke me up, and I'm groggy, and my dad says, "Hey, Russ, I need to ask you a question." I'm like, "Yeah, Dad, what's up?" And he said, "Hey, will you help me coach baseball, t-ball?" I said, "Whatever, Dad, sure, I'll help you coach t-ball." And I go back to sleep. Then I wake up, I'm like, "Dad, did I have a dream about you coming? Was this real? Did you ask me?" He said, "Yes, and you agreed to coach t-ball." I had a younger brother, and my dad wanted to coach, didn't know the sport at all. I played baseball, so I got myself in this position where I was coaching t-ball. I figured out the way to win t-ball. You ready? I just told the kids, I said, as soon as you hit the ball, keep running. Don't stop. No one's going to tag you. No one's going to be able to throw the ball out. Just keep running. We scored so many that we won every game because all the kids had a hit was hit and run. In this particular league, there was no like only one base or two bases. They'd been smart to do that because we just kept scoring over and over again. That ball goes somewhere and the kids get it. They run off to outfield. They run into the dugout with it. They throw it to their parents. They're like running around in circles with it. And yet the parents in the stands have so much burden that my kid will be the best on the field. It gets worse as the kids get older. Sports. Something that's intended to build character, something that's intended to be a time of fun and enjoyment and memory, becomes a burden on the families, a burden on the kids. We have all kinds of burdens. Some of the burdens we have are pretty serious. You know, we talk about money. I'm not going to say money is not serious. Of course it is. I'm not going to say that sports can't be serious. I know that it is to some people. But something that I think a lot of us struggle with is our health. Don't worry. So the mannequin here has been fully clothed. Don't worry. We're good. There's a story. Mr. Palmer, our science teacher, before this mannequin was fully clothed, had been storing this mannequin in his office. And his office faced the road. And there was a window there. Mr. Palmer didn't really consider what he was doing as he put the fully unclothed mannequin against the window. So everyone driving by Meriden Hills Baptist Church thought, that's an odd sight to see from the window. We had a good laugh at that. So since then, we have provided the mannequin clothing. All right. Our health. That's a big one, right? The burden of our health. Teenagers, I don't look the way I want to. I don't feel the way I want to. It doesn't get better in your 20s. Then you really start recognizing, wow, I thought I had it bad when I was a teen. Like, what's happening to me now? And then when you had a baby, you're like, no one else knows the real truth. Having babies, that's when things go south. Men, we start getting fed regularly by the women who love us, and we're like, okay, it's over now. There's no going back from that. Our health can be such a burden, weighing so heavily on our shoulders. Some of our health problems are ones we created for ourselves. Poor choices. Others, something happened we didn't account for. You know what's interesting? Some of the things we worry about? Pets. Kids, inevitably, if you ask them for prayer requests, I guarantee you, some kid's going to mention their pet. The pet might have died 3 years ago. They're still going to be praying for the pet that died. Pets, we care about the things we love. We care about the things we wear. I'm not just talking about teenagers. I'm talking about adults. A heavy burden. Do I look good? Does this make me look good? Am I wearing clothing that shows the best parts of me? We care about the things we wear, the things we put on our feet, the things we put on our body. We care about the things we put on our body, the things we drink, the things we eat. Whether it's related to health or because we just don't like it or because we can't afford what we do like. And you know, one of the things that people worry about the most is, of course, death. Death itself. This guy's been through a lot. There we go. All right. He's a dentist. All right, I fixed him. Death. We worry about death. That's a heavy burden on our shoulders. What happens when we die? Where do we go when we die? What does God say? We just read it. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. It doesn't matter what of these things or anything else that I didn't mention. He says, take your burdens and do what with them? Give them to God. Why? Because God says, I care for you and about you. Give them to me, God. Why are you walking around the airport carrying this 70-pound suitcase when you can just check it in and enjoy the ride? Well, I don't trust the airport. I don't blame you. I've lost luggage too. I get it. God isn't the airport. God doesn't work at those airlines. You can trust God with your burdens. You are making what is already a difficult day. A day of traveling in the airlines is already difficult. You're making an already difficult day harder by taking this with you when you don't have to. Check it in. God says, I care about you. I will take it for you. You know, you say, well, Pastor Russ, I've done that. And sometimes God gives it back to me. Yeah, and that actually happens. You know, when you get off the airline, what? The luggage is there waiting for you, right? Sometimes God does give what is in the luggage back to you. He says, hey, this health burden I gave you, I want you to bear it for me. I'm not taking it from you. I want you to take it. And I want you to carry it and glorify me with it. And God says, yeah, I'll give you $3 back, but that's all you get is $3. The finances are still a problem. Sometimes God gives your burdens back to you, but then God does tell us in the Gospels, he says, the burdens I give you are light. You say, how could they be light, Pastor Russ? It's 70 pounds. Essentially, God gave me most or all of the things that burdened me down. God gave them all back to me, yes, but God gave you a support system. And now, you can handle what is in here. There are still times where it's good to check it in and say, hey, God, can you just take these burdens for a time? I know that you're not going to take them permanently. Can you give me rest? Can you give me rest tonight? Can you just calm my soul today? Can you just relieve my mind so I can have time of peace? I know that some of these things that I'm giving you, you're going to give back to me. Your will be done. That's what Christ prayed before the cross. Not my will, but your will. But Lord, will you just give me peace? And God says, sure, check it in. I'll get it back to you later, but check it in for now. But Christians, God does not intend for you to carry all 70 pounds one-armed through the airport. Sometimes God lets you check it in. Sometimes God gives you the support system so that when you carry the suitcase, you can handle the weight. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for those here. Thank you for the adults, the kids. I thank you for the opportunity to just enjoy worship with our entire family. I thank you for so many families at Meriden Hills who love you, who love their kids, who love each other. I pray that you would bless them continually. I pray for the food we're about to eat. I'm so grateful for those who have been a part of preparing the food and getting that here. And I ask that you would bless the food, bless the fellowship, that we would truly enjoy the time we're about to spend together. We love you dearly. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, let me go ahead and explain to you what we're about to do. The chicken that we purchased will be here in about 15 minutes. So what we're going to ask is if you guys want to head outside, get some drinks. There's drinks outside. There's some chips. There's some sides.